John, we are here looking at some of HP's new products, and obviously the main thing here is that these all have an NPU chip inside of them.
Yes.
Could you tell us what's special about this specific unit?
Okay, so what makes it special is, as you say, is the NPU. So if you go back to about a year ago, all the silicon manufacturers started introducing NPU, which is a short for neural processing units. Mm-hmm. And it really drives around the growth that we're seeing in AI performance and AI-based tasks and applications. What we saw historically, we used to talk about a processor made up of a central processing unit, a CPU, and then the graphics card or the GPU. The AI-based tasks were actually draining a lot of power, using a lot of resources from the normal CPU. So the silicon manufacturers came up with the NPU, the neural processing unit, mm-hmm. designed specifically to take that workload off the CPU. So now you're getting a better performance. It's bringing the AI-based content local onto the device, mm-hmm. and you're getting a lot longer battery life as well. So those are some of the main benefits. From a security point of view, less risk because you have less data driving up and down between the local device and the cloud. Mm-hmm. You have better performance, a better user experience, and all these features built into it, and you have a longer battery life as well. And that's really what the main reason behind the NPU is.
Okay.
Also then, just to highlight, there's also different levels of NPU, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about a Copilot Plus PC. Mm-hmm. So we have a benchmark that talk about TOPS, tera operations per second, so trillions of operations per second. Anything more than 40 TOPS is it's classified as a next-gen AI PC or a Copilot Plus PC. Mm-hmm. And then you have the next level down, which normally runs at about 13 to 15 TOPS, mm-hmm. which would be your standard AI-based PCs.
Oh, okay. And so the high-end PC would be heavy-duty tasks?
Heavy-duty tasks, more than 40 TOPS, and a lot better user experience when it comes to AI tasks and these type of things, yes.
When we're looking at AI, we use AI for various things within our printers. So the one thing is what we call smart device services, or SDS, mm-hmm. is the capabilities. When you look at customers that are looking at an MPS solution, they're going to have devices scattered around. So what we have is a lot of sensors built into these machines. Mm-hmm. Okay, these sensors then send the device telemetry, okay, into the cloud. There we use big data, we use the telemetry that we get from machines from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And then we can do proactive, notifications to the actual service delivery manager or the service delivery partner to be able to predict what is going to go wrong with this device. So that's the type of stuff that's happening in the back end.
Okay.
So that's from a service perspective. And then we also use AI for customers who need to do something. You know, if you look at what customers are doing now, a lot of it is around document management, document capture, you know, put it into some kind of workflow, etc. In this environment of here, what you've got is, yeah, for example, is delivery note, invoices, etc. And usually what would happen is these get brought back to a company, and then you've got people that are doing data capturing, you know, so they have to sit here and capture the data, etc. Now we're saying, well, we've got a thing called Scan AI, okay? So what I can do, and I'm not going to do it just for this sake, I take my document, I put it in there, I use Scan AI button. I'm just going to select that document, and what it will do now, it's going to scan the document, it sends it into the cloud, it will extract all the data that I need from there. So things like invoice number, the amount, who the person was, etc., the date, etc. It will then ask me to validate it to make sure that the details are correct if it's not sure, because it picks up handwritten stuff as well. Mm-hmm. So you'll see here it says your thing is required, so I'm just going to go here now. There's the actual document. If I want to, I can go and preview the document and just make it larger and move it around. Mm-hmm. But you'll see there, it's picked up all the information. So it's an invoice, there's the invoice date, the invoice number, the actual quantity, all that type of stuff. And then once that is done and I'm happy with it, I can now say validate it, I'm done. And this job is now sent through to a predefined folder that you've got as a OCR document. You can go search within that document.
Yes.
Over and above that, okay, it will give you all the XML data, the metadata that it extracted,
yes,
that you can now push it into a backend system.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a document. I now want to scan it to email or send it to someone, etc.
Yes.
So all I'm going to do is go there and I'm going to say scan to demo, and I'm just going to do a quick preview of the document.
Okay.
So there's the file that I've just scanned in. Now, if I want to, I can add, I can remove pages, etc.
Okay.
But I can take it a step further. So I can go there and say, okay, hold on. I want to send this to someone, but I want to reduct a specific area. So that area, I'm going to just take that out because I don't want anyone to see that. Then what I want to do is I want to, hold on, let's go here. And let's highlight this particular area because I want them to read that.
Okay.
Okay, and maybe I want to delete the area specifically. I'm going to delete that over there. I am going to sign the document so that people know that it is from me.
Yes.
And I'm going to say send, and there we go. What I can do, I come here, authenticate myself. So I tap my card.
Yes.
Okay, now I put my PIN number in here.
Uh-huh.
I say, okay. Now it's going to log me into Azure. Okay, that is our company login. And
we
have got over 100 applications available for this. So I want to go into my OneDrive. I just click here, and this is going to take me to my OneDrive. Okay, and from here now, I can go in here. You can see here, I can go sort out.
Yes.
I can go there. I can go create folders. Okay, I can scan into folders. I can go here and open up and view my physical documents that are there. And if I want to, I can print them out.
I am Kosinathi Ndlovu, and this is Tech Central's TCS Plus, brought to you today by Hewlett-Packard. Here to expand further on HP's AI products and how they are helping shape the future of work is Ertu Ayik. He is Vice President and Managing Director for Middle East and Africa at HP. Ertu, welcome to TCS Plus, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you, and you know, thanks for coming to our event.
It's only a pleasure. Ertu, there's been a strong emphasis on the shift from a product-focused company to a solutions company at HP. Could you tell us about that?
Definitely. So, HP is a technology company. And one of the things that HP has built its culture and roots is on creating best products that help individuals and companies to flourish in their purposes. But HP has never been only a product company. It has always aspiring to create products that create solutions for our customers. I think what's happening in the last years on top of this heritage is that With the AI, the artificial intelligence coming, the integration and the solution between both the devices, but with also different services and solutions is exponentially increasing. Mm. So now you can do much more things. You can create much more solutions with the products when they have this, let's say, superpower, which is the AI. Mm. And that's how HP has been now putting AI capabilities and intelligence in all its devices, not only on its PCs, mm-hmm. but also on its printers and you know, collaboration devices like headsets or video conferencing rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just to give an example, we have now smarter devices who understands how a person is working. I'll give you an example. So if you are working with your PC, in the past, the PC was operating in the same mode across the day. Now the PC is looking at what you are doing. If you are doing a super heavy job, then it's, for example, using its fan more because the PC requires more cooling.
Mm.
Or if you are doing a video conferencing, then the PC is diverting its, let's say, battery power to enhance the video. So
yes. The
device is creating solutions
mm-hmm.
that from understanding how the user is using the device at that specific point.
Mm-hmm. So, Ertu, you touched on this. The AI revolution came along. The first instance or the first wave was in the cloud.
Yes.
Now it's moving on to the actual device itself.
Yes.
You've given one example, but how are different sectors now going to benefit from the processing being on the device and not in the cloud?
Okay. It's a very, very good question because until today, AI is not something super new. So there has been, you know, initial applications for maybe over a decade on AI. But the real powerful large language model AI actually started 3 years ago. And predominantly, until now, it was on the cloud. Now, what we have, what we are bringing as HP is bringing that AI capability into the devices. How we are doing that? Now, our PCs have a specific chip called NPU, so a third chip. So we had CPU and GPU. Now there's a third chip called NPU, which is only doing AI computation.
Yes.
So what's the benefit of having this capability on the device than on the cloud? So the first one, it is much, much faster. Because when you are doing computation on the cloud, you have to send information to the cloud, make the calculation, and then come back.
Yes.
And for certain applications, for example, I'm talking to you, let's say I'm talking to you in Spanish, and you need a real-time translation.
Yes.
Right? You cannot expect the word to go to the cloud, being translated, and come back. It needs to be instant. So you need that speed on, that can only be achieved if it's done on the device. So speed is the first thing. The second one is cost. Running AI on the cloud is pretty expensive. You need a lot of computation power. You need a lot of power, cooling. So it's actually not cheap. So when you are doing a lot of applications in the cloud, it's expensive. Having it, doing it on the device is actually, in that sense, much more cost effective.
Yes.
Because it's already part of the device.
Yes.
And the third, and I, probably the most prominent thing that comes, is about confidentiality or security.
Yes.
When you share a, when you share some data to the cloud, you are sharing that with everyone, and not everything can be shared. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're a medical professional, and you want to understand, let's say, the results of a patient. If you send that to the cloud and ask the AI to have a look at it, you are sharing a confidential information, right, of that patient. You might not be able to do that. So when you are doing it on the device, that data, that security stays within your parameters. So which means that you're not sharing anything with the public. It's all in your own domain. So these three things, which is speed, cost, and confidentiality, is what is driving the solutions to run on the device itself.
Okay.
Now, this is not going to be a replacement. We believe that in the future, there's going to be many applications that are going to continue to be on the cloud. And there's going to be also a lot of applications developed to run on the device with the new technologies.
So given this branching out now, you've got three thinking pods in the computer. But most devices at the moment only have those two, which are the CPU and the GPU. How are you looking at the African market? How are you looking to penetrate and proliferate the market with these new computers?
So these devices, which we call the next generation AI devices, are on the market probably around 1 year now. Now, the expectation from the global trend is that in probably 2 years' time, 50% of the devices sold worldwide will be able to have this capability, meaning they will have a hardware, a chip, that is going to be able to compute AI on the device. Now, this, you can, there is a limited set of AI applications you can do on the device if you don't have it, right? It doesn't mean that the device without an NPU will be completely not AI capable. It will be, but it's going to be much less. It will be able to do much less.
Okay.
So this is a bit of a chicken and egg, right? I think there's going to be a huge demand for AI, new generation AI capable devices, because there will be a lot of solutions developed to harness that power. And the cost of these devices are also going to, I think, to come down to, you know, to the devices that we have at, it's going to be at a much larger range. Today it's more in the higher end of the portfolio.
Yes, yes.
I think we'll see a lot of devices on almost all the portfolio having these capabilities. But the amount of efficiency and the productivity that these devices bring is going to be essential for companies to be to invest into that.
Okay.
Now, why is it important for growing regions like Africa? One of the successful examples we've seen in a lot of countries who are trying to, let's say, accelerate and then come to the developed countries level is to actually bypass a couple of generations of technology and already jump to the latest one.
The leapfrogging.
Leapfrogging.
Yes.
So, and these technologies, these AI-capable technologies enable individuals, companies, or countries to be able to do that, to dramatically speed up the reach to the developed market capabilities. I'll give you a very basic example. Today, let's say you are a small enterprise in one of the African countries. You have a manufacturing site, and you might find a customer in, I don't know, in China. But you might not be able to communicate, right? Now, the AI devices give you online capabilities to talk them. You know, they talk in Chinese and you talk in, I don't know, in your own language, so that you are able to reach any customer in the world.
Yes.
Right? That capability today is in the hands of very big companies that have global reach. The technology today brings many super competitive advantages of big companies down to every individual. You are a student and you want to do a research.
Yes.
Right? You don't need to go to the very prominent, expensive universities anymore, because the AI, you know, covers everything around the world in terms of what publications are there, and then you can study any topic. And now AI is able to tutor you like a teacher. So it's bringing all these, let's say, privilege capabilities of the developed countries down to every individual in the world. So these devices harness this capability. So I think it's very important to be able to continue to look and invest into these technologies.
Excellent. But does it then not present a challenge? Because, yes, the hardware is now there, but the people who are developing these applications need to now optimize their programs to take advantage of the hardware. Does that require a different way of thinking?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Right. So I think one of the challenges of the adoption of AI is this is not a revolution. I see it more as an evolution. Because exactly like you said, having the device is important, but to be able to really harness the full power, you need to also applications, solutions developed specifically for that. Today, there is a race in the world to develop that across all the countries. They are developing small language models that can run on the devices. They are optimizing the big language models, and they are bringing, you know, a portions of that to the edge, to the device itself.
Okay.
And, you know, I think as we get into getting more and more solutions developed, the adoption of AI is also going to accelerate more. But you're absolutely right. So it's going to be there. But the ones who invest into that technology today already, they are future ready.
Okay.
Because this is going to come, that's for sure.
Yes.
And would you rather be at the back of the line, or you want to be in the front of the line? So when the solutions are ready, you are one of the first to be able to put that into your, let's say, efficiency stack within the company.
Okay, excellent. Artu, if we could just take a glimpse into the future now.
Yeah.
We are here to discuss the future of work.
Exactly.
How does HP see work evolving as AI proliferates the market even further?
Amazing. Look, the future of work, so what we see is that there has been a lot of impacts to the that changes the way we work. In the past, it was pretty simple. One third of our time we sleep, one third we do at work, and then one third we spend with the family, ourselves. That has disrupted. And there are three main things that disrupted one. One of them is hybrid work.
Yes.
Right? So it's not, work is not where we do the job. It's not a building anymore. Work is, you can work from anywhere. So there's no physical boundary or a time boundary. And people are looking for ways to have the flexibility and the personal choice to do their work wherever they want. And that's not going to change. It's here to stay.
Mm.
The second one is the entrance of the Generation Z into the workforce.
Yes.
This generation is very different. They are prioritizing personal fulfillment,
yes,
from the job,
mm,
as much as the compensation they get. Mm. We did a survey and we've seen that a lot of these youngsters, they are ready to give a portion of their salary if the job gives them more flexibility.
Oh.
All right? Which was, I mean, in our time, we didn't, yeah, it wasn't something unheard.
Yeah.
And the third one is, of course, AI.
Yes.
So this is very important because when we look at the how people's relationship with the work, it's not very healthy. We did a survey and we see that only 28% globally of people say, I have a healthy relationship with my work.
Mm.
This is a wake-up call, mm, right? Because only engaged employees are productive.
Mm.
And to do that, they are looking for solutions who can take the, let's say, mundane operational tasks from them,
mm-hmm,
and they focus on what is really excites them.
Yes.
Right? And the technology, the future of work,
mm-hmm,
for me, for HP, is that to create products and solutions that enable this,
mm,
to create products and solutions that take the operational work from people,
mm,
so that you can spend your time on things that matter. I always, mm, give this example because I have huge respect for teachers,
mm,
right? It's an amazing job. It's you mold the new generation of humanity. But when I go to my daughter's school, I used to see teachers in their PCs. They are copying grades from one Excel to the other. They are putting on remarks. I obviously, it's not something that they, I don't think they imagined this when they were, you know, yes, when they were in the university. Yes. They wanted to become an aspirational teacher.
Mm.
So now all of these, or most of these, can be done by AI.
Yes.
And the teacher can find much more time talking to the students, yes,
engaging,
educating them, mm, engaging them. So it changes the fulfillment that a person gets from what they do.
Uh-huh.
And I think this is valid for any job.
Mm.
There's not one job in the world that is not going to be impacted by AI.
Mm.
I think it's going to give us really superpowers so that we focus on the things that really matters, and then we will be more productive. We will enjoy the work we do much more.
That's an interesting perspective, because what you touch on here is a symbiosis between technology and human beings.
Yes.
Whereas there's sometimes this perspective we have where we see technology as a threat.
Definitely.
Mm.
It's one of the, I think it's one of the barriers. A lot of people saying, is AI a threat to my job? Am I going to be replaced by AI?
Yes.
Is it going to be something that I should be afraid of? Look, there is, it's really a disruptive technology,
mm,
just like electricity,
yes,
just like steam power, just, mm, like internet was.
Yes.
And in all those technologies, people were afraid, is that going to change?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to impact jobs, but it's going to, I think, also create much more jobs that, mm, didn't exist before. Today, mm, for example, there are jobs like, how do you prompt AI? Mm. Right? Because being able to prompt AI is a specific skills that enables you to get much more AI. So it's, mm, it didn't exist a couple of years ago.
Yes.
So if we know how to use AI, I think it's going to make us more productive, more agile, enables us to be more creative, you know, help us to do our jobs even better.
Mm-hmm.
There is this saying, I don't know how true it is, but it's not going to be, and AI is not a threat to a job,
mm-hmm,
but a person who is really using AI very strongly,
yes,
can be a threat for you. Right? So
okay,
it's on our benefit, all of us, to really understand how to use it. And it requires time.
Yes, and some learning. So, Ertu, if we're looking at the next year or two, what can your customers in Africa and I guess the Middle East expect from HP?
Well, so first of all, it's always a great pleasure to be here,
mm-hmm,
because I think, unlike a lot of places in the world, Africa is a place of hope and energy, and expectation, right? So this spirit is very unique. And we as a company see that. So we are investing into Africa as HP on many different pillars. One of them, of course, is we're bringing all the global technologies that are developed across the world. So anything that we have across the world, we have it here, also available in Africa. Two, we are on top of the technology and the solutions, we are also doing a lot of investments into digital equity and education, so that we can bring these technologies not only as a product, but also how to use them, how to train, let's say, the educator so that they can pass this knowledge to much wider audience. We are bringing certain programs to enable entrepreneurship. We have a program across Africa called HP Live. It's a free program where anybody can enroll, and it gives you the basic, let's say, fundamental capabilities to develop yourself as an entrepreneur. Right? So it's not only a technology, but we are also trying to ensure that we bring the training, the education, the usability of these programs. We're very excited. So HP is super excited. We've been in this region for decades. It's always a pleasure to be here. You know, whenever I have anyone coming from the global to Africa, they are not only happy, but all of them, without an exception, they leave with energy and inspiration and hope. So
yes,
that's amazing.
Okay. Ertu, thank you very much for your time and your insight.
My pleasure. Thank you for coming.
Okay. That is Ertu Ayik. He is the Vice President and Managing Director at HP for the Middle East and Africa. And I am Nkosinathi Ndlovu, and this is TCS Plus.